Welcome to DCU's Teaching Enhancement Unit Podcasts, an audio discovery series for teaching and learning in higher education.
Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Fiona Reardon from the Teaching Enhancement Unit, and this podcast is part of the academic integrity theme, which feeds into the overall podcast series that the Teaching Enhancement Unit are developing. So I'd like to start by welcoming Dr. Rob Galanders, who's kindly agreed to share his experience of online continuous assessment, in particular assessments that he has developed in order to promote academic integrity. So thank you, Rob, for taking the time. Can I ask you to start by introducing yourself?
Sure thing, and thanks for inviting me. So my name's Rob Galanders. I'm an economist in the business school, been in DCU 4 years now. Prior to that, I was working abroad in Finland. And prior to that, I got my PhD over on the other side of the city in UCD. Most of my research interests are in kind of corruption and governance and stuff like that.
Super. Thanks very much, Rob. And by way of, I suppose, general conversation, before we kind of get into the academic integrity piece, can you tell me a little bit about what influences or inspires you to assess the students the way you assess them? So traditionally, what way would you assess them and why, and what motivates you to try something different?
Sure. So, I mean, you know, until relatively recently, until I was exposed to yourself and Shadi and Mark and so on, I suppose, I was very much, you know, let's get the kids into an exam hall and see what we can squeeze out of their memories. But over time, I've fallen out of love with that way of assessing people. The thing that drives me now is, you know, are we actually developing something deeper than short-term memory retention? And are we giving them skills and ways of thinking that they can take forward with them?
What kind of skills would you be thinking about?
It's a general kind of critical. Maybe I'm so, as I said, I'm so new to this idea of trying to be an actual good teacher. That maybe I don't have all the lingo down right yet, but kind of critical thinking skills are important to me. There, you know, there is the kind of discipline specific stuff I have, which is, you know, can I teach them, if not to, well, at higher levels to think like an economist, but lower levels to at least teach them about how economists think about the world. So putting that aside, it's kind of the content of the course. Kind of the other thing I'm trying to get is just, you know, can you take knowledge and apply it in new ways, or can you take what I'm telling you or someone is telling you is a piece of knowledge and interrogate it? Some colleagues have accused me of trying to teach cynicism, and I'm okay with that, I guess. You know, can we, just because something is put in front of you as the truth, you know, you need to understand in what kinds of ways that's the truth, when it's the truth and when it might not be the truth.
Well, I think you've got the lingo correct there, Rob. I wouldn't be too hard on yourself at all. I mean, I think anything that encourages our students to question, to challenge, to understand in a deeper way, or understand it in a kind of an applied way, all of those things are extremely useful skills, life skills, not only for industry or for as an economist. So I think you're on the right track.
I guess what I try and teach them is, you know, economics, or maybe more broadly kind of quantitative social science, is a really powerful but limited set of skills that you can use to look at the world. But actually, the more you understand the limitations, the more powerful you become.
Excellent. Yeah, I like that. And in that regard, then, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, because I know we're moving away a little bit from some of the questions we had talked about, and we'll come back to them in a minute. But if that's your kind of ethos, can you give me an example of maybe one or two of the assessment approaches that you're using to try and instill that in your students?
Sure. Well, maybe I'll be really perverse and tell you about something that wasn't really an assessment approach at all, in that it was kind of an extracurricular or co-curricular.
Yes.
I was doing with the students. So the first year, I think, or maybe the second year since when I arrived, kind of, I think, motivated by the loss of having master's students in economics to pal around with, which I kind of had previously, I kind of gathered together some of the interested students specializing in economics across our various degrees, and invited them to join me in kind of a small group journal club where we'd read every 2 weeks, kind of pick and dissect paper from a good journal, not necessarily always a good paper, but a paper that was in a good journal. And we just and delve deep into, you know, what were the limits? How are they doing this? Why were they doing it? What are the limitations? How can you apply it? What else could we do? And in that way, you know, it wasn't quite my intention to develop these critical thinking skills, at least not explicitly, but that seemed to be, from talking to students during and after the process every year, that seems to be what they're taking away from it. So that kind of interrogating it, kind of a piece of academic knowledge as a way to learn about what it's telling us and also to learn how it's done, I guess, is something that interests me as a kind of a teaching or an assessment method.
Yeah, and it's a really good example of a kind of an authentic learning experience and what you'd love them to be able to do way beyond the kind of formal education space. And could you see...
less authentic this year, though.
With the online, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of a co-curricular thing I was doing for years. But with the dawn of the COVID age, I had to try and think about how I could, you know, teach some of my fairly traditional... Here's Rob talking about graphs and equations.
Yeah.
How to teach those in a kind of a meaningful online space. And I took that kind of previously optional co-curricular activity and I kind of formed one of my modules around that.
The assessment of your module?
The entire module was
okay.
Basically here's a paper or two every week. And you're going to read them ahead of schedule. And then we're going to discuss them in class in small groups. So I ran the class a couple of times a week with TA assistance. I was able to get the students down into small groups of kind of 10 or 12 per session. And that took care of all 50 or 60 of them every week.
And was that part of an assessment strategy? Did they get grades for that, I guess, is what I'm coming to.
They did, yeah. So they there was a kind of a weekly, so they had to submit a report. This was the point of departure with the kind of the for fun version. I had to submit a report on one of the assigned readings ahead of the class every week.
Okay.
And I would then grade that on a kind of a pass-fail basis before the class. And their comments in those reports served as a kind of basis for an in-class discussion.
Excellent. That's a really nice example an assessment method to promote academic integrity, because you are actually, I suppose, in a sense, using the discussions to check in on their work that they submitted. So that's really clever.
Nice.
Can I ask you then to talk a little bit about the peer assessment, which is something I know more about in terms of your work?
It's again, our work, to be honest.
Well, you're the lead on it. Perhaps tell us a little bit about the approach, why you went for this approach and how it worked in practice.
Sure. So I was, when I arrived, I kind of inherited a really interesting module kind of on applied economics. That was for our final year students taking the economics, politics and law degree, which is a really great degree. You know, traditionally I had been assessed through a couple of essays.
Yeah.
And I continued that when I arrived. But I was never really happy with the essays as a way of kind of examining this particular subject for final years. I thought that the essays were a little bit superficial sometimes in the level of engagement.
Yeah.
And also there was a clear, not all the students, not even many of the students, but a noticeable number of the students every year, there were significant plagiarism issues.
Okay.
I mean, it got to a point where they were able, I think there must have been some kind of essay mills involved here, because they were beating the plagiarism software that we were using.
Right.
But they weren't really beating my eyes, because they're gibberish. And once you kind of realized what was going on, it was easy to see that what had originally been parties to the transaction had been changed by some sort of auto thesaurus into the birthday celebrations to the transaction, for example. And then in a somewhat funnier but equally egregious example, the phrase gender gaps got changed. something unspeakable on polite radio.
So I can imagine.
There was a real problem, both in terms of the general level of engagement and in students trying to buy their way around these essays.
Okay. And I remember at the time, Rob, as well, you had two essays as well, and you just became very frustrated sometimes with the lack of engagement. Oh,
yeah. I mean, well, that's a more mercenary motivation from what I tried to come up with.
That's fine too, though.
It was taking me 2 weeks out of the year to two horrible, horrible kind of 7 day weeks to grade that module per year, at least, right? Because, you know, there's two essays, there's a lot of students. To do it properly, it was taking a long time. Now, I know some of my colleagues were thinking 2 weeks is nothing for one module. This was, you know, for the size of the number, for the numbers involved, it was time consuming.
Yeah.
So there was also, I remember this all started to come together when I was sitting in the teaching and learning day 1 year. And you're giving a talk on kind of academic integrity, and then some of the students' union people were making the point that maybe we were overdoing it a little bit with the assessment in terms of their workload. So something clicked in my head, and I thought of a kind of a more novel way of doing things that I was lucky enough to have yourself and Shadi, the most excellent Shadi, savior of the business school. You've been really great to kind of help me put this all together. And I suppose I should tell you what that was now.
Do please.
Yeah. So instead of writing two essays, they had to write one essay. And then after they'd written their essay, which were submitted anonymously, they helped us to develop the system whereby they'd get another essay back. They got someone else's essay back and they didn't know whose it was. And then they had to grade the other essay.
Yeah.
And depending on how accurate they were in grading the other person's essay, they would lose marks for their own essay. So they'd accumulated some chunk of marks for their own essay. And they faced a penalty for mismarking the one they've been assigned to grade. Is that
correct?
I also always have trouble explaining this.
No, I think you're doing well. I think the notion that it's loosely based, or not loosely, it's based on loss aversion theory is good as
Yeah. So I'd been teaching them behavioral economics, which really tickled me when I, you know, taught them behavioral economics, and then I behavioral economics them. And loss aversion is the idea that, kind of loosely speaking, people put a higher weight on something that they stand to lose than on something that they stand to gain. In other words, I knew it would infuriate them to think that they were going to lose marks. Now the rate at which they lost marks was ridiculous. I think it was for every 4% difference between what I gave the essay and what they gave the essay, they lost 1% of their own grade, and most of them lost nothing. In the grand scheme of things, a few of them lost one, and very few lost more than that. Which was also interesting in its own right, that they actually were able to accurately, well, to the extent that you believe I can accurately grade an essay, which was nice. Yeah. What I could say from that was, hey, look, the task, at least part of the objective here, was learn how to write a good essay, learn what constitutes a good essay. And even if your own essay was no good, most people were able to accurately gauge, very accurately gauge, the quality of an essay put in front of them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was nice. So that was it. I knew it was going to work when I, in the first class, explained this to them. And any goodwill I'd built up teaching them in second year was immediately gone. And the gasps were enjoyable to hear, because, as I say, it was hinged on this idea that they would be putting a pretty high weight on something that they stood to lose.
Yeah. And I think from memory as well, when we talked to some of the students, they really enjoyed the opportunity to really engage with the rubrics. Because they always they wouldn't have always spent that much time looking at how their essays were graded.
Yeah, the rubric was really, really, really useful. That was where enter Fiona. You designed we designed together, I suppose, such a great rubric that the students were actually able to follow along. They used it in writing their own essay, and they used it in assessing the other essay that they had to grade, and Shadi programmed it up into loop nicely.
So it was lovely, yeah.
You had to click into each little row of the rubric and assign the marks.
I think it was the combination of, I think, tying it into the loss aversion theory with the peer piece, peer review piece, and risk of losing marks, and giving detailed rubrics to them, that helped them be more invested in the assessment and perhaps less likely to resort to cheating. What did you feel that the quality of the essays were like?
There was not really much of a difference in the quality of the essays, to be honest. But it was a kind of uncheatable.
Yes.
In a sense, that there was no real way, unless you just got someone else to do it for you, I suppose. But there was no way to kind of, you couldn't just look at someone else. You know, everyone had their own essay to grade or someone else's essay to grade.
Yeah.
You knew what the grades attached to those essays were. The only way to accurately grade that essay was to sit down and have a think about it.
And I think the workshops that you offered as well helped in that regard. You helped them understand how to interpret the rubrics. And also you had drop-in sessions where they used your office a lot to try and pick your brain around what would constitute a good mark in a certain criteria. So again, showing that they really got down and dirty with the rubric, which is what we wanted.
Yeah, I was happy with it all told. I mean, the only really annoying part of the whole thing was that when we looked at the feedback in loop and in a kind of another research project we ran on this, you could see that the students, a good number of them said, wish you'd done this in first year.
Yes.
There was limited value in doing this in final year, because whatever kind of principles of academic integrity or ability to work with a rubric or so on that we were kind of driving into them. For a lot of them, that was the kind of the end of the academic. And you know, if not, a lot of them are going on to do something completely different from social science, broadly conceived.
Well, that's good to know, because I was just going to ask you, what advice would you give to other academics thinking of using a similar approach? And it's that they might consider introducing it in year one or two.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one, because the fact that it was a kind of a final kind of capstone economics module for this degree meant that the scope for writing an essay was broader, and it made a lot of sense to have an essay there in terms of, you know, pull together a lot of what you've learned throughout your economics education and kind of distill it down to kind of a final point on it. So it made a lot of sense there, but also the value of it at that point is limited. For people who are thinking of doing it, I mean, I've become very, very converted or fully converted to the idea that rubrics are a very useful thing. I forgot to mention, it also helped me to grade it. You know, I still had to grade one essay, not two.
And to grade, yes.
But the rubric really helped me to do it quickly. And also there was one interesting thing in the distribution of the grades. When I looked at it, there were more kind of 58s and 48s and so on, because the students, you know, we might occasionally say, look, you got 58, might as well give them 60, let them have his 2-1 or whatever. Couldn't do that, because the students were being tasked to grade the essay accurately.
Yeah.
If I wasn't grading it accurately, that would throw the whole
thing. It would have skewed it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the rubric had a nice disciplining effect on me. So maybe easy.
Good.
It was all good.
Thanks very much, Rob. And I guess for anyone who's interested, we did publish a paper on it called Loss Aversion as a Motivator for Engagement with Peer Assessment. Feel free to look for that in Innovations in Education and Teaching International, or drop us a line and we can share that with you. It gives a lot more detail and guidance if you wanted to kind of replicate it yourselves, or indeed feel free to reach out to myself or Rob. Okay, Rob, I guess that's it for the moment, unless there's any last minute piece of advice you'd like to offer your colleagues.
No, I would say that moving away from the old fashioned traditional exam way of doing things was a nice and surprisingly enjoyable experience for me.
Good.
I think it's working for students.
I think we all like to try new things. I mean, we want to do it in a way that doesn't penalise our students. So I think that we gave it a lot of thought in advance. And as you say, having the three heads collectively try and solve this problem, I think was probably very useful as well.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for your time today, Rob. I appreciate it. It's always very helpful, I think, for others to get a little snapshot into each other's practice. So I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.